This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey, everyone. I want to take a moment to talk about gratitude. In our fast-paced lives, we often forget to appreciate the people around us. And sometimes we even forget to appreciate ourselves. So today, let's pause and give thanks not only to others, but also to ourselves for the hard work we put in every day. It's so important to recognize that doing our best, especially in challenging times, is an accomplishment. Now, if you ever thought about starting therapy, or if you're looking for a new perspective, consider giving BetterHelp a try. Therapy offers tools to build resilience, set boundaries, and grow into the best version of yourself. And with BetterHelp, everything is designed to be convenient and flexible, fully online to fit right into your schedule. Let the gratitude flow with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/playbook today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/playbook.
All right, everybody, this is a very special episode of the Deuce Raymond Podcast. First of all, it's our first ever in person. Secondly, we're at the Aspire Conference. And thirdly, we're with Dave Meltzer. This is like amazing. We're so excited to be here. I reached out to Dave. Dave and I have a relationship, goes back a couple years. I said, Dave, would you do me a solid and come on the podcast? We're just getting started. And he's like, Deuce, I'm going to be in Chicago on Wednesday. Why don't we do it in person? And I'm like, okay, sounds good. Next thing I know, Nick reaches out to me and says, we're doing it at the Aspire Conference. We're going to give you a VIP pass. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This is like too much. Amazing. So thank you so much for doing this, David. And it's so good to see you.
Well, this is what I live for. A lot of people don't realize that communities are built by helping one another and knowing people that can help one another. And already, just having you here as a VIP, you've met some of my key neighbors, influential people that can help with your business, with your marketing, with your branding. And all of those things create an elevated ship by having this community. And you've been a part of that community. And too many people live in scarcity. They're transactional with their relationships. And they don't realize that if you open up that community to help one another and know people that will help one another, all tides are risen and our ships fly high.
It's amazing. I mean, I feel lifted up just by being in the energy of this conference, being around you and what you were just saying. I felt myself getting lighter, just having people like you to go to for advice and talking to Jeff and people like Sean, we know. It makes some of the daunting tasks we take on as entrepreneurs not so daunting, you know?
And it is daunting, and that's because there's so much unknown and so much of a necessity to guess what's going to happen in the future. Mm-hmm. And so no matter the hospitality, especially the restaurant business, mm-hmm. in that catering business, in different hospitality businesses, time, emotion, and value change immediately. And yet we have to plan on time, value, and emotion to have successful businesses in hospitality.
Right.
And so teaching people to understand, this is all I can do today according to the circumstances of the day. Mm-hmm. Let me learn the lessons from the past, but maintain an expanding divine direction of being somewhere that I want to be or even better.
One thing that you talk about a lot, and I've seen it in my life and my career, is how failure can lead to success. And in the moment, it seems like it couldn't be anything worse. When my uncle and I started the catering business, we had, you know, our eyes were wide. We're like, this is going to be amazing. Sweet baby Ray's, nothing's going to stop us. And we've made so many mistakes. And then we went into a partnership with an event planning company, and that couldn't have gone worse. And it was like, we were done. Dave said, I'm not putting any more money into this. You know, we're going to figure it out or we're going to be out of business. And as soon as my back or our backs were against the wall, things started to change. And it was like, we didn't know if we were going to make it or not. And now we've never been busier. We've never been more profitable. So many successes have come because we failed so much in the beginning. What is some of your experience with that?
Well, every day. And understanding this is why values are so important, that if we see what we're given, mm-hmm. even though the outcomes appear to be punishment mm-hmm. Because of what we deem to be mistakes, and we deem them be mistakes because they're not what we wanted. Right. We immediately think if the outcome is not what we want, mm-hmm. that it must be a mistake instead of thinking that this is progress. And so understanding the difference between a mistake, mm-hmm. which is detrimental, punishing to you, compared to something that's protecting you, promoting you, and loving you, and teaching you mm-hmm. to be in a better place, a better position, a better situation. And so as we elevate our awareness, sometimes by having our back against the wall, sometimes by surrounding ourselves with the right people and the right ideas, a different consciousness in which the mistake or foresaid mistake was created, mm-hmm. we then could elevate all that we're given from that situation. For example, always be careful about who you partner with, or just because I have a name brand doesn't mean that will carry over into an entirely different business.
Right.
And that there's still a lot of lessons that we need to know, and there's a lot of people that already know it, and some they don't know, and we have to learn for ourselves. So for me, once I shifted a paradigm, and talk about failures, I lost everything in 2008. I lost over $100 million, went bankrupt, and you could say at the time, that was a pretty big mistake. And I still frustrate my wife because I tell her, look, I know I lost the $100 million, but I consider it in, as an investment into who I am today. Mm-hmm. But for that investment, and it was an expensive one, and I could have had a less expensive investment into those lessons that got me to where I am.
A little bit
which
less.
Is better than I ever imagined. But still, the mistakes are only failures if we perceive it as punishment. Mm-hmm. And so what I teach people is the mindset, the heart set, and the handset, the practices to facilitate learning the lessons faster, shortening the distance of resistance. Mm-hmm. And every time we try to expand, there's a resistance of expanding.
Right.
Our skills, our knowledge, our desire, whenever we want to expand those, there's always a resistance. And our job is through wisdom and faith to shorten that distance, to perceive these mistakes as promotions, protection, and love, not as punishment.
One thing that I've struggled with and that you speak to is self-sabotage. How do you talk to people that are struggling with that, and how do you talk them out of that?
Well, first let them understand and meet them where they're at. Mm-hmm. Listen for what's happening that they are sabotaging themselves. Usually it's a matter of self-image. Mm-hmm. Understanding what we imagine is our self-image, and we never will overachieve our own self-image. So we create these thermostats. And if we're below the thermostats, we'll do everything and get right back to the right temperature. But mm-hmm. what most people don't realize, like me making over $100 million, that although I had this great success, my thermostat was still mm-hmm. lower middle class poor. That was the energy that I carried. Those were the people I was hanging around with. The mm-hmm. ideas that I had, my self-image was the kid from Akron, Ohio.
Right.
And it took me to go below my thermostat of being that kid to then saying, hold on a second, before I actually try to elevate my self-image, right, or where I want to be or better, let me work with people to show me what the energy, the mindset, heart set, and handset is necessary to be $100 million or 200 mm-hmm. or a billion. Mm-hmm. And so understanding that we can't overachieve our own self-image and working on our own self-image by surrounding ourselves by the right people and the right ideas, a different consciousness. Einstein said, you can't solve a problem in the same consciousness in which it was created.
That speaks to a lot of mindset. You know, and that's something that I feel like a lot of people that don't really take into consideration how to start elevating themselves. They're just living the day to day. And something that shifted a big time for me about 8 years ago, I decided that I wasn't going to drink anymore.
Good.
I was solving a problem there. But that's when I started listening to people like you and Tony Robbins and David Goggins, and my mindset changed. How can you give some advice to people that might be in that headspace, and where should they look, and how should they take those first steps to really changing their mindset?
Yeah, so that's a great question and a great point, because everyone that gets to the advancement, the aggregation, acceleration in their lives, shift a paradigm of perspective, the one which you shifted 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. So instead of working to continually just get more, more happy, more healthy, more wealthy, more worthy, if we're on that journey, we'll never identify what we're doing to interfere with it. You see, there's a huge energy gap in everyone's lives. It's what I am versus what I want people to think I am. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I start my day by saying, I am happy, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am worthy. My job today is to figure out what I'm doing to interfere with it. What am I eating to interfere with my highest self? What am I drinking to interfere with my higher self? Mm-hmm. What habits do I have that are not aligned with where I want to be or better? In other words, what habits do I have, a commitment to consistent behavior that is not just conscious, but unconscious and subconscious in nature, that are interfering with my higher self? And so there is not only the wisdom that you've received from quitting drinking, but there has to be faith that there's something bigger than you that loves you, protects you, and promotes you more than your mom. What am I, if I am truly connected to and through this unbelievable, omniscient, and all-powerful source, then what am I doing to interfere with it? I don't have to go get it.
Right.
I don't have to get more motivated. No, I have to actually become or be inspired in spirit to utilize at ease the extraordinary knowledge, information, and the extraordinary power, energy. People ask me all the time, I can't believe your energy. I see you everywhere. You're in Dubai, then you're in New York, then you're here. You're 56 years old. You're definitely not in better shape than me. I'm 25. How do you have so much energy? I'll tell you how. Because I'm only focusing on what I'm doing to interfere with my energy. We have the exact same amount of energy. If you have a faith that there's an omniscient, all-powerful God or whatever you believe in, then we have the same energy.
Sure.
So if I don't interfere with that energy as much as you, regardless of how strong you are, fast you are, your endurance, your age, whatever it is, I'm going to have more energy than you.
Talk a little bit about how the ego can hold you back. What, you know, I always thought having an ego is sort of a good thing because you won't ever be able to propel yourself. Like if you don't think enough about yourself to be able to go out and have the handset, the mindset, and the heart set to go and produce and be someone in society. But you have a different spin on the ego than that. So how do you say the ego's holding you back?
So a lot of people misinterpret, in my opinion, my perspective, the ego is confidence and comfortability. See, I replace what you talk about, the ego, as faith.
Okay.
So faith is important to me. You know, my doing, saying, believing, feeling in alignment with a divine direction where I think I want to be or better, my higher self. Faith is what you are, for me, defining as the ego. The ego, to me, is the fear that we have creates an ego that reacts to the fear. So a dinosaur walks by my cave, my ego says, oh, shit, a dinosaur is walking by the cage, I'm going to flee the situation. Or if I'm hungry, my ego says, oh, shit, I better go find something to eat.
Right.
Okay, so for me, that's different than the faith that you're talking about, the confidence and comfortability that is that which determines our desire to be what we must be. That's faith.
Right.
And so what I have people do is realize that the ego reacts to the fear. So the ego actually edges goodness, greatness, and God out of my life. Therefore, the instant and obvious is the ego reacting to the fear. So anger is ego. Separation is ego. Inferiority, superiority, guilty, resentful, frustrated, worried is ego. It's edging goodness and God and greatness out of your life. It's edging gold out of your life. So I use man-made constructive time to work within the divinity of time, the infinite amount of time, by saying, okay, if I simply focus in on the interference, the distance of resistance that I'm creating by the ego protecting me, which is reacting to fear, which has become far, by the way, less realistic than it used to be. Because it was obvious when a saber-toothed tiger walked by your cave that you would have a reaction to that fear. But it's not as obvious when you watch someone making fun of you on your Instagram that you would have the same visceral reaction as a saber-toothed tiger. And so you're going to evoke guilt, resentment, worry, inferiority, superiority, all these different things. So I teach people like you to shorten that distance of resistance not by trying to overcome it, fight that saber-toothed tiger,
right?
Not trying to even run away from it, go over it, under it, through it, around it, lie to it, cheat it, deny it, all those things that people do. I simply teach you to stop, breathe, recollect with your source, remember with God, and then reprioritize your activities in a divine direction. That detour that the ego is throwing you off of becomes divine in its nature. So the detour is actually protection, promotion, and love, a divine detour, which then allows for the number one reason people quit is that it allows for you to have the patience for divine timing. If you didn't have a purpose greater than your pain, there would be no baby Ray's catering because you would have quit when your uncle said no more funding.
Yep.
You would have been too afraid and not done it. But your purpose was greater than your pain.
Right.
And that's what people talk about. Do you have to hit rock bottom? Do you have to make mistakes? Do you, quote unquote, have to fail? You don't have to fail. Failing is quitting.
Mm-hmm.
But you will and do have to continually, every single day, get kicked in the face. It's how much time are you going to cry about getting kicked in the face by allowing your ego to react with worry, fear, resentment, guilt, all these anger, frustration, things that stop us from our potential. Imagine starting a small business. Your first customer, your first hire, your first real paycheck. It's an exciting time, but also a little scary. That's where JustWorks comes in. As an all-in-one platform, JustWorks supports small business growth by providing seamless tools for benefits, payroll, HR, and compliance, all with transparent pricing. Running payroll is now painless. You can complete it in 90 seconds or less, and automate payments. So it's as simple as set it and forget it. In 2023 alone, JustWorks processed over 25.6 billion in trusted payroll for its customers. And you won't have to worry about paperwork. They handle payroll, tax documents, and reporting to ensure compliance. Visit justworks.com/podcast to join thousands of small businesses that trust JustWorks to manage payroll, benefits, compliance, and more. That's justworks.com/podcast. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey, everyone. I want to take a moment to talk about gratitude. In our fast-paced lives, we often forget to appreciate the people around us. And sometimes we even forget to appreciate ourselves. So today, let's pause and give thanks not only to others, but also to ourselves for the hard work we put in every day. It's so important to recognize that doing our best, especially in challenging times, is an accomplishment. Now, have you ever thought about starting therapy, or if you're looking for a new perspective, consider giving BetterHelp a try. Therapy offers tools to build resilience, set boundaries, and grow into the best version of yourself. And with BetterHelp, everything is designed to be convenient and flexible, fully online to fit right into your schedule. Let the gratitude flow with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/playbook today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/playbook.
Let's shift gears and talk something about specific and talk about sales for a little bit.
I love sales.
You have a lot of experience in sales, and that's something that I think no matter what type of business, if you're selling aluminum foil or catering or Mercedes-Benz, you know, everyone needs a good sales team. So if a business is in a place where their sales are okay, what's like the lowest hanging fruit to go out and get more sales, to grow your sales?
It's different than it used to be. It used to be being able to qualify or pre-qualify someone that is the lowest hanging fruit.
Okay.
So if you were selling cars, Mercedes, for example, I would only want to address people that made over $100,000, maybe have different personalities according to what model it was, et cetera. Not true today at all, because today, Shakespeare was right. The whole world is our stage. We have access to 7.6 billion people, and most people have these micro communities like the one that's an initial podcast of 20 episodes. Yep. Still putting you, by the way, in the top 1% because most people quit doing podcasts by 10 episodes. You've already done twice as many episodes. But more importantly, understanding community is way more important today. And so for me, if I was selling anything, I would want to build a community of people that want to help me and know people that can help me.
Okay.
And that I can help and know people that can help. Why? Because today, everyone has in their community, including my son, who's 14, somebody that's qualified to buy a Mercedes.
Yeah.
Somebody that's qualified by being Mercedes. So instead of having to reach out, we now can actually utilize the laws of attraction by creating, in essence, a capture of a frequency or a vibration to elevate the awareness of others that resonate with a story, a lesson, or content that can be created or modified in which to attract more people that know people that would want to buy a Mercedes. And so for me, my mission of empowering over a billion people to be happy is actually to create a community of people that want to help each other, know people that can help each other. Because if I do that at the size, scope, and scale that I'm able right now, then I have a community of millions of people today that want to buy from each other and sell for each other. And when you aggregate not only my millions in my community that exist today, but the millions of millions that exist in the people that are in my community that have the mindset of helping one another and knowing people that help one another, I have one of the biggest community of people that want to buy from each other and sell from each other for life. So whether it's Napoleon Hill or social media or Baby Ray's barbecue, I have thousands of people, probably a bigger database of people that want to buy from you than I have that you have that want to buy from you.
That's so cool. I see every time I open Instagram in the morning, it's Dave Meltzer's going live. What's your thought process by leveraging live or Instagram, but live specifically to grow your message or grow your network?
So first of all, I have a huge advantage of over most people because I love to go live.
Not everybody does.
And I also am a freak of consistency, which is a superpower. So I've utilized the OCD that made me drink too much and use drugs and other things when I was young into only positive behaviors, notating that positive behaviors create positive progress, negative behaviors creates negative progress. Very simple equation. And so for live, for me, it doesn't make sense. One, it elevates my brand because most people aren't willing to do what I do. Two, most people don't enjoy doing what I do. And I said earlier, if you learn to love what other people don't like or love, life will tell you all its secrets. It becomes easy and it seems to be dis-easy for other people. And then thirdly, it's still the least expensive way to build an audience.
Right.
And people don't like it, and they're not going to. And I can encourage people. I have a people, John Gottlieb, Jeff Fenster, Danny Fleischman. All of these guys are in my space, right, trying to build their personal brands, these people. And I'll tell them, well, the secret sauce, you got to go live every day. You got to do interviews every day. You got to do every day. And it's free.
Yeah.
This is free for me. And there'll be 200 people that are in my frequency that are going to join my community now. In fact, I will make sure they do because anyone in his community, I will give my book to. So I'll sign it, send it to you, pay for shipping and the book. Email me, david@dmeltzer.com. david@dmeltzer.com. Put that in the notes.
Yep.
So now I've taken this free opportunity not only to capture Dave Meltzer's essence where I can modify it, amplify it, and perpetuate it to build your brand and mine together for free. And then if something pops, I can spend money to create a vending machine, right, of you and I.
Right.
You and I, Deuce and Dave. All of a sudden, millions of people. And I'm like, shit, millions of people like this video? I'll throw 50 bucks at it. Oh, 2 million like it? I'll throw 100 bucks at it.
Yeah.
But people don't get this. I think it's the biggest lost portion of being a content capture. Content creation is for the editors and the don't fool yourself. All those influencers are spreading dis-ease, right? They're spreading the flu. Be an influencer, man. Be in the flow. Create a community of people like you are. Let the 200 people right now that subscribe to this podcast turn into 400 by you being consistent and persistent. Turn into 800, into 1,600, into 3,200. And by the time you're my age, it'll be 2 million people turning into 4 million.
Yes. That is.
Or sooner. I'm sorry. I wouldn't want to limit you.
Oh, what do you talk about? You talk about that a lot, either putting a cap on something or not putting a cap on it.
Yeah. So I, like I said, you can't overachieve your own self-image. The universe is infinite. The example I gave and where I really honed into it is I was born on January 11th. I'm actually launching the Napoleon Hill Institute in Wise, Virginia on Saturday. We're announcing it, but I'm doing it on January 11th because I was born January 11th at 111, and Napoleon Hill himself founded the Napoleon Hill Institute mm-hmm. in 1958 on January 11th. That's the universe coinciding with my life. It's not a coincidence, the coinciding. And yeah. So I used to tell everyone, I'm going to die, my girls are here, at 111 at 111. And everybody was cool with that. My wife wasn't, because like, you're going to live way too long. And you know, yeah. I'm like, yeah, but I'll outlive you, so we'll be fine. But Diane Cannon, who's 87 years old, she was in a ton of movies, Academy Award winner, okay. married to Clark Gable, or Cary Grant, who's, you know, the Tom Cruise of their age.
Okay.
Anyway, I shared my Laker seats on the bench. Magic, me, Glenn Frey, all on the bench, right on the baseline, and here's the Lakers bench.
Yeah.
So I turned to her thinking I'm super enlightened, super spiritual. She's one of my spiritual mentors, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, Diane, I'm going to live to 111 at 111 on January 11th. And she got sad. I was like, what's the matter? She's like, why are you limiting yourself? What if there's technology that makes everyone live to 1,000 by the time you're 111 and you spent the last 70 years old manifesting dying at 111? You've set, right?
Yeah.
You've set this limit and you now have cursed yourself 889 years because you've manifested something and the universe is just listening to you and reacting to you going, oh, Dave Meltzer for the last 70 years has said, this is when he wants to die. I'm your God. I'm protecting, promoting, and loving you. I only wanted, like a parent, give you everything you desire. For 70 years, this is what you desired. Here you go. Bus accident.
It's so crazy you say that. And
so I say, I'm going to empower more yeah. than. Huh? Well, I mean, more than.
I have to do that because I put, you know, dollar amounts on how much I wanted to make these years, and I hit those amounts.
Of course.
But why didn't I get...
All you got to do is add more than.
Yeah.
It's not like a major change to people to say, hey, I'm going to live more than this, or I'm going to empower... I get pissed yeah. off on the interviews. They're like, Dave Meltzer wants to empower 1 billion people. Can you imagine that? I'm like, no, I don't. I want to empower over 1 billion people. Don't yeah. limit me, mofo.
Yeah. Dave, this has been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for taking the time and bringing me here to this event. This is so cool, man.
It's just a start. The Dave and Deuce Show. Yeah. This is episode uno of the David and Deuce Show. I can't wait for the Dave and Deuce.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, brother.